Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here with you. It's good to get to share a message from God's Word this morning while Robert's away. Of course, it's exciting with the start of a new semester. And I had a plan of what I was going to preach on, and then last Sunday night, I changed it all. So shout out to my value short course. I was finishing grading. I was a little behind on grading. I was finishing grading last Sunday afternoon, grading their finals and final papers. And this is a course that seniors take, and we talk about a lot of interesting things. And I just came away moved and inspired, and I thought, I want to talk about, it spurred some thoughts in me, I guess. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. So those of you, there are a couple of you out here who were in that class. See, your final led to this, so thank you for the inspiration. I think one of the things we talked about is the idea of being faithful in the small things, realizing our place in life and just to do the best we can to love God where we're put. And I think that this is a message, this idea of doing small things. I think this is a good reminder. It's a reminder for me and hopefully for you this morning that sometimes in our world we can put a lot of pressure on ourselves. Right? We can be out there, you know, we tell the young kiddos, you're going to go out there and you're going to change the world, right? That's a lot of pressure. Students that may be trying to figure out, you know, the question, like when you're in college, the first question can be like, your name, and then where are you from, and then what's your major, right? And you're like 18 and going like, am I supposed to have this all figured out, right? The pressure we can put on ourselves. Even in our culture, we celebrate these things. If you can dream it, do it, whatever you set your mind to. But what if we took that pressure off of ourselves and we leaned into the fact that we are small. So let's do small things. To kind of help us put us in this frame of mind, thinking of Psalm 39, verses 4 and 5. Oh Lord, make me know my end, and what is the measure of my days? Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few hand breaths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. We live this life, and it may seem long or short to us, but in the grand scheme, a breath. It's there, and it's gone. As the psalmist writes in Psalm 90:10, the years of our life are 70, or by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. So the question I want us to ponder for the time that we have this morning is, how do we live each day realizing that life is fleeting? Well, I want to suggest for our encouragement this morning to do small things, and in particular, be faithful in small things. I can't help that James is going to come up, Daniel's going to come up, because these are, as we're preparing our classes for this semester, the interns, we've been making plans for what we want to do for the curriculum. And so my mind, of course, goes to Daniel, which our girls will be talking about in their Wednesday night class. Think about Daniel and his faithfulness. In chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. And so, as we think of Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the Babylonian names that we often call them by, that they were taken from their home where they were, and they were to be indoctrinated and immersed in this foreign culture. And we see there the idea that Daniel resolved. It's a small thing. You could also make the case that it's a big thing. But it's a small thing in this moment that he's not going to take the food. And if we're familiar with that story, we know that he and his friends make that choice and basically say, test us later, and we're going to see what God does in that regard. But as we think about this resolve, this is the first thing I want to suggest is just one small thing we can do is to resolve to do the right thing. Again, we may think of the lion's den or the fiery furnace Because those are the things, I mean, they make great VBS stories and they're just powerful, big moments. But you see, the faithful person is not made in those moments. The faithful person is revealed in those moments. It was all in the small, little daily choices in resolving to do the right thing that led to the faithful choices in those big moments. So we often do small things. We often do quiet things. And I think those are the important things that become the foundation of our walk with Christ. Faithfulness requires integrity. The little things that nobody sees. We see that Jesus says in Luke 16:10, one who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. That class that I was talking about, one of the things we start off the course with, tell a story from called The Ring of Guy Jesus. This guy would become invisible with his ring. I know it sounds like Lord of the Rings, but there's an original story before it. And we raise the question, what if you could get away with it? Why should you do the right thing? Why have integrity when you can get away with it and everybody thinks you're great? And why would you have integrity and do the right thing if everybody thinks you're the worst? What is it inherent about doing the just thing, the righteous thing, the right thing? And what we see here is the reason why we need to be doing small things and being faithful in those small things is because it will play out. The truth will out. So there's all different scenarios we could put in our life. Because we just started a semester at university, there are a plethora of ways our students can cheat. Why is it important to resist that temptation? Because what makes you think that if in these small moments you make these choices, and then one day, if you're a manager with millions of dollars on the line, all of a sudden you're going to become virtuous if you've not practiced that along the way? It's like muscle memory. You go through it. So even though the stakes are low, all the more important to have integrity in those moments, because those moments will be revealed in the big ones. And so, we remind ourselves, resolve to do the right thing, even when no one is watching. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, reminds them, thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do, and the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. I don't know about you, but I don't see a lot of people carrying trumpets around, okay? And I don't know what it's like in the day. But we got things like Facebook, social media. Oh, look at this great thing. God be praised as we praise ourselves. See, we need to be faithful in the small moments, even when nobody knows. We need to do the right thing, even in our quiet ways. Another thing that came up, and part of the thing that I was motivated this sermon was, we talked about being faithful in these small things, but we also, it came up over and over, there was a small chapter they read, it was called Audience of One. And it's the reminder that ultimately, you and I, we do not answer to each other in the end, we answer to God. He is our audience. And if we can cut through the noise of worrying how this may be perceived or what other people think, that at the end of the day, at the end of the day, when we lay our head down on our pillow, I do not answer to you, you do not answer to me, we will all give an account to God. And so, that is our audience. He is our audience. In 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter's talking about scoffers and say, where is this coming? And oh yeah, the flood, and where's this coming of judgment? And so Peter's talking about the day of the Lord. And so it's a reminder of there's going to be this day of the Lord. There's going to be this day of judgment. And he says, since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So here's the thing. Regardless of who knows or what people may think of us, we are faithful in the small things, even when no one is watching, because there is a day of account. And we can be in Christ, so that's not a day that we fear. But what kind of people ought we to be? Well, we ought to be living lives of holiness and godliness. In 1 Corinthians, and Paul is talking about this metaphor of building. And I think for the sake of time, I'll kind of jump down here. But basically, what is going to endure in that day? We see in verse 13, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. If we are in Christ, Christ is the ultimate foundation. It is the only the things in Christ will ultimately endure. And there are a lot of things in our lives that we pour our time and energy into because we are time-bound, mortal creatures living on this earth. But this is not the be-all, the end-all. Our treasure lies elsewhere. And thus, we are faithful in these small things, even when no one is watching. Because ultimately, God is our audience. So we resolve to do the right thing, even if no one is watching, knowing God will provide what you need. Again, going back to Daniel, who resolved not to defile himself with the king's food, we see later in chapter 1 that they increased in all learning and skill, and they were 10 times better than any of the others. You see, God was involved. God blessed them. God gave them what they need. This morning, as we kicked off our study of James in our college class, we talked about how can you count it all joy when you're in the midst of trials? Well, because of what it brings. But the point I want to play out here now is that God provides what we need for that. He doesn't leave us alone. As we said this morning, God can provide what we need to turn our trials into triumphs, because if you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach. He doesn't give stingily, begrudgingly, whatever that word is. God gives generously, not to his favorites, but to all come to him. So God provides us what we need. As Paul writes Philippians, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ, Jesus Christ. Now here's the thing. We've got to think too deeper than material things here, because this is not a prosperity gospel. We can see probably how prosperity gospel has seeped into our thinking. Well, God wants these things for me, so there's like a certain threshold that we expect. But here that God is providing for our spiritual needs, that even if it costs us our life, costs us our very breath, God still provides. God has offered salvation and we are safe in Jesus. So as we think about this, that God, be faithful, do small things, even if no one is watching, knowing God will provide for our needs. Let's remind ourselves to do small things. First off, to do small things to strengthen your own walk with God. With the new semester, Matt Cook gave a great first day chapel, like the fresh start. And, you know, that happens to me each semester, too. I'm like, okay, you know, I just wait until the semester's going to start, because then all of a sudden, magically on day one, all of my goals are going to fall into place. I was telling somebody, I'm going to go to bed at a good hour. I'm going to get up. I'm going to make sure I have my Bible time, my meditation time. I'm going to eat healthier. I'm going to do my spin twice a week. I'm going to go to No Excuse 3 days a week. And they said, that's great. Maybe, do you want to, like, focus on one or two of those things? You ever do that? This idea of leaning in, right? Do these small things. We don't have to go from A to Z in a moment, but instead, these small things set us on this trajectory. And so we do these small things. Are you not satisfied with your prayer life? Are you not satisfied with your scripture reading? Are you disappointed because you're like, ugh, I gave up on reading through the Bible, all the way through the Bible on January 13th? And then you're like, well, it's gone. You can do small things. And instead of using that to just get discouraged, turn away, make that small shift, that small change. We do small things to strengthen your own walk with God, but we do small things to love others. We extend hospitality. We visit an elderly member or someone who's hurting or in need. We pray with a friend. We comfort the grieving. Maybe we just sit there with them. The power of presence. Got to include things like this when Jesus says, whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Or in James, religion that is pure and undefiled before God is this, to visit the orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. I bet there are some small things that you can do that will display pure and undefiled religion. Paul's encouraging the Thessalonians, and he's talking about their brotherly love, and he continues to say, now concerning brotherly love, you've been doing this already, but he says on there in verse 10, he says, but I urge you, brothers, to do this more and more. And notice verse 11, aspire to live quietly, to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and dependent on no one. You know, this pressure of like, I've got to do something big, or I've got to change the world, or I need to make this claim, or I need to boycott this, because that'll show them. I've got to do something like significant. The significant things are in the small things. In that daily faithfulness. And of course, we strive as best we can to live peaceably with all. So we do small things not only for our own walk with God, but to love others, but also to point others to God. I couldn't help but think of 2 Kings chapter 5, the story of Naaman, right? And our kiddos, you know that story. What was Naaman told to do? He was told to go dip in the Jordan. Kiddos, how many times? Do I hear you having kiddos out there? You listening? 7 times? Yeah, you got it. You know it. You got it. But you know what? You know why what set him on that trajectory? Are there any little girls in here? I know I've got some in here. We'll see some little girls in here. I don't know how old this girl was, but there was a servant girl who was taken, and she was serving the mistress of Naaman, and she said, I wish she could go and see the prophet, Elisha. That started a path. And then when Naaman got there and he expected Elisha to come out and do some grand thing and he doesn't even come to the door. Oh, I came all this way for that. And you know what it was? It was a servant. So what did he tell you to do? Maybe you should go do it. There were some folks in there, not significant by any means in the world, but they were pointing others ultimately to God. And we do small things to glorify God. If we talk about small things like pointing others to God, I'm not going to steal Alex's thunder because at 5:45 he's going to talk about Ananias. But I couldn't also help but think about Ananias, who was like, God is like, okay, go to Saul, you know, Paul. And he's like, are you sure, God? But he goes and baptizes him. Think about Barnabas, who makes that connection for Paul when folks are a little nervous about Paul. There are lots of ways, and I'm sure there's so many examples we can think of small things. But ultimately, do small things to glorify God. As Colossians 3:23 reminds us, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. This goes back to the audience of one. Yes, we have employers, and yes, we have to answer to them for our jobs and expectations that they have set on us, but let us not be deceived that ultimately there is one to whom we answer to and one whom we serve. As we read this morning, some of Jesus' last words to his disciples before the trial and crucifixion, and Al-Gene, I loved your words this morning, absolutely loved your words this morning. In John 15, 8, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. We ought to bear fruit. But you know what? Don't put pressure on yourself that you have to have that award-winning 100-pound pumpkin. Look at the fruit that I've borne. Maybe you're a little blueberry bush, right? Can bear fruit. And as we read this morning, it's sourced in Christ. Again, we talk about being the light of the world. But why are we the light of the world? Notice in verse 16, right? Let your light shine before others so they may see your good works. So they may see your good works. They may see what you do. But it's not for your glory, but to give glory to the Father who is in heaven. Because at the end of the day, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen? All right. You are small. So do small things. I thought about 2 Corinthians 4:7. This idea, if you ever feel like not good enough or weak or whatever the case may be, guess what? Yeah, you are. You're a jar of clay. I have verse 7, but I know I'm running a little short on time, but lunch will still be there. 2 Corinthians 4, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. The glory is not for you. The glory does not come from you. The power, the source is not from you. It is from God. And these weak jars of clay that are fragile and disposable and a dime a dozen, yet it is God's power shining through. And look in verse 8, these little things. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. You are small. So do small things. You cannot fix the catastrophes of the world. But as we said, you can visit the one in need. You can feed someone who's hungry. You can offer an encouraging word. You can pray for or with someone. Or you can, as some of you doing probably right now, holding a little baby in your arms. Trying to shush them if they cry. It's okay if they cry. You might have that squirmy toddler in your lap. You're doing good, small things. You are small and yet significant. I've said this before. I love being under the stars. My dad, let's go look under the stars, right? He still does, and sometimes the girls go out there with a telescope, or if there's meteor showers, whatever the case may be. I love being under the stars, and I think I love being under the stars. And there are moments that I remember that just being under the stars, because for me, that's a contemplative place. I remember my, junior year of college, UPC would have a retreat. We were out at Pinson Mounds. We'd come back early. And I remember just that night laying under the stars, start of a new year, and thinking how grand and vast all this is and how small I am, and yet the creator of the universe bends his ear to hear me. Psalmist writes, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. So at the start of a semester, start of a college experience, or start of a midlife crisis, I don't know where you're at today, all right? But whatever the case may be, let's do small things. Let's be okay with being small. Let's do those small, quiet, faithful things, and yet take comfort in the significance. And if I had more time and maybe a second sermon, go on, that does change the world, being salt and light. You know what? You're small, and you and I need deliverance. As was read for us this morning, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, we were dead, no hope, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, I am not the center of the story. Most of my decisions that I make, it's really natural to put who at the middle of it? Me. But I am not the center of the story. God is the center. I play but a small role, and I play a small role in that moment, in that breath in which I find my lifespan here. I play a role in God's grand redemptive story, at which he and his love and Christ are at the center. So be faithful in your own small part of the story. And if you need to put on Christ this morning, if you are dead in your sin, baptize you, put away the old, and be a new creation and wash your sins away. Or you need prayers or help. If you need to do that in a public way, we can do it in a public way. And you will not be alone in doing that. If you need to do it in a smaller setting or a private way, elders are always available in the room out in the back. That we are here to support one another. So again, don't feel like you have to go out there and change the world, but instead, play your part in the work that God is doing and do small things. If you have any needs, come forward while we stand and sing.